for another great episode. Boy LQ here and Okada. My boy, welcome back. Nice little vacation. Right? How we feeling?
Yeah,
got a little band going.
Yeah, I headed out to Arizona for a little bit. Let me tell you something. I am not down for the heat. Go away, summer.
Summer
I'm
is
a SoCal
here.
Boy. I have a very small window of comfortable.
But listen, man, it's good that we are here. We're back on this beautiful Monday, and there's been some news over the weekend. And boy, I mean, look, I was kind of surprised by this one off the top, man, because we got to pour one out for our guy, Joe Mixon. I say our guy as if I don't know where you stand with Joe Mixon, but Joe Mixon's my guy, man.
Yeah, well, looks like he's going to be maybe not the Texans guy, although, you know, we don't know what Nick Chubb's going to be like. He's coming off of several thousand horrible knee injuries at this point, it feels like. So, yeah. That's going to be the big question is Texans looking to sign Nick Chubb. They haven't actually signed him yet as of our recording, right? If I'm correct.
Correct. It just agreed to terms of one of those things that, you know, it's basically like a head nod, like, okay, we get it. You guys are going to sign him. All right. Just get it over with.
I mean, if he's Nick Chubb or even like 80% Nick Chubb of old, it feels like Joe Mixon loses all of the relevant value.
Yeah,
because he's going to be at best fighting for a like 1B spot with Nick Chubb. That being said, with the injuries in Chubb's history, I think it's more likely that he's lost several steps and is a depth piece, maybe takes a few goal line touchdowns. If that's the case, then Mixon holds a lot of this value. And what it could do, if that is the case, is drop Mixon's ADP and make him a better value in drafts if he holds on to that starting job. What do you think?
That's where I was going with the next. Like, does this still give him some type of fantasy value? Because we know the ADP is going to dip. If Joe Mixon is sharing touches with any running back, that's not something that I'm a fan of, because we know Joe Mixon as a guy that's at least getting you 300 touches. And that's where most of his value holds as a fantasy player on my roster. So it's like with Nick Chubb there, I'm not worried about if Nick Chubb is going to be able to outproduce, you know, Joe Mixon. That's not the problem here. It's more of, is he going to vulture those touchdowns in the red zone? Is he going to be a guy that's going to get like 6 to 10 touches a game? I want those touches to go to Joe Mixon. So with him dipping, is this a good thing? You know, is it like, all right, we're still in on Joe Mixon?
I think the most likely outcome is that Chubb has lost a lot of steps coming back from these now several knee injuries and is not the Chubb of old. And if that's the case, this will dip Mixon's ADP, but it may not dip his actual production that much. And it's worth noting, like last season, he had 281 touches. The running back with the next most touches on the roster was Dare Ogunbowale, and he had 49. That is an absurd split. We should not expect that. We should never have expected that. I think that most likely Chubb will be in the 100 to 120 touch range. And that's pretty typical for an RB2, and I think Mixon can hold value if that's the case.
Absolutely. That's where I'm at with it, man. I mean, look, I was pouring one out for my homie because I do believe the touches come down, and I'm not too sure with him being an inefficient, you know, running back with that yards per carry always going to be a problem.
Yep.
Not quite sure if we get that RB1 type production week to week, but he is still an RB2. I will treat him as an RB2, so I'm going to buy the dip on Joe Mixon.
Agree.
But I do want to move on now. There's other news that happened over the weekend that kind of had some of us RJ Harvey, you know, stands question. Like, how do we feel? Like, how are you feeling about J.K. Dobbins coming in? And look, I feel great, Okada. I'm just curious of where you're at with it, though, because J.K. Dobbins went to go have dinner in a movie with Sean Payton. But that boy left without a deal as of time that we're recording right now. We didn't hear anything from it. He went there and left. Where are you at with J.K. Dobbins? Is he still the boogeyman out there trying to hurt somebody's fantasy value out there in that backfield?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to note, since it was with Sean Payton, the movie had to be Crazy Stupid Love.
We all know. And look, J.K. Dobbins probably not a fan of that movie.
Maybe not. Dobbins is not too dissimilar from Chubb. He's a guy who's dealt with multiple injuries. He's a guy who may have lost some steps as a result of those injuries. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I'm not overly worried about where he signs. It obviously depends on where and who's there and for how much. Like, does a team start and sign him for $8 million and now you expect him to be the starter, or do they sign him for $2 million and you absolutely expect him to be a secondary guy?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's taken this long to sign these two guys tells me it's more likely to be the latter. If teams saw these two guys, Chubb and Dobbins, as bona fide starters, I think they would have got signed a while ago. I don't think it's like they're asking for a ton of money and not getting it. And that's why I think it's more just teams don't believe they are what they thought or what they used to be. And so they're not overly excited about it. So to me, if it turns out that Dobbins does sign a deal with the Broncos, I'm not going to freak out about RJ Harvey. I'm more likely to take that tack we talked about with Mixon, that it hurts his ADP, but doesn't hurt his actual production all that much and might make him more valuable. If Dobbins goes elsewhere, I mean, we'll have to keep our eye and ear open to see where and what kind of impact it has. But I think he'll be similar to what I just talked about with Chubb, probably 100 to 120 touch guy as a complimentary piece to a starter somewhere.
No, I agree, man. And if they end up do signing J.K. Dobbins, how I look at this backfield is more so Sean Payton just trying to build that, you know, backfield that he had in 2017 with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, which both finish as a top 10 running back duo. So you're looking at this, it's like, all right, I see the vision. I want you to execute it at. And I think what makes J.K. Dobbins so good, though, and why he remains employed to some of these teams, and he may be asking for a little bit more on the bag based on that production he had last year and saying, almost said San Diego, dang, bro, that's crazy. You're in 2025 now. We've been calling
like 5 years now. Maybe yeah, that's
that. The Chargers don't get my respect. That's what it is, though. I mean, look, we share a stadium with them, but it's like when they play, it's like there ain't much cleanup because ain't much people there. But anyway, more so looking at this backfield with J.K. Dobbins added to that, what makes J.K. Dobbins so good is that his efficiency. He's an efficient runner, and that goes to his vision. A lot of vision guys out there, they're able to see the holes and see the gaps, and that's why he was able to have some of those explosive plays last season. He just ain't a home run runner. Like, he ain't going to take it to the crib. He getting hawked down, and that's where RJ Harvey comes in, and I think this will make a nice compliment duo to where people will overreact on RJ Harvey. His ADP will drop, and guys like me and Okada, we'll jump on the value and then serve your ass every single Sunday in L with RJ Harvey putting up big fantasy points.
Let's go, Harvey.
Let's go, Harvey, man. And last, but certainly least, I hate that I had to put this on a rundown, but it happened, okay? We didn't get to have our reaction to what this news was. Voldemort has signed to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Voldemort being Aaron Rodgers in my world, where I was just sick and tired of hearing his name. Let's not say it anymore. But he's with the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you saw this news, Okada, where were you? Like, what were you doing? What was going on?
I believe I was still in Arizona, and I was probably doing something with the family. And I looked down, and I saw the sleeper notification, and I said, well, yeah, that checks out, finally. And I put it right back in my pocket.
Yes.
Exactly. Good gracious. We had been expecting this for I don't even know how long now. And it, to your point, it had just gotten tiresome that it wasn't happening, but we knew it was going to happen, or we were pretty confident it was going to happen. So now it finally has. Good for our fantasy, you know, predictions and things, but pretty much the news we expected at some point.
Now, Rodgers, he's not more than like a late round, you know, dart throw in one quarterback leagues, or maybe even super flex. He has some QB2 appeal, or I don't know. Where are you at with him on a fantasy scale?
Yeah, I think he can have some super flex, like low super flex upside out there in Pittsburgh. The weapons aren't incredible. Obviously, they've lost some recently. And he's gotten old, did not look quite like himself last year. Still wasn't terrible, like could put up a few QB1 weeks and was in that QB2 range. So if you're in a 2QB league or in super flex, I don't mind stashing Aaron Rodgers away somewhere. I think the bigger question is, what does this do for the pass catchers there?
So, oh, yeah. That you rolling right into what I'm picking up, man. And DK Metcalf is a guy that we've talked about briefly on here. And, like, I'm not quite sure about him, you know, this year and being that with Aaron Rodgers all as the captain of the ship now, and you know there's some limitations that comes to Aaron Rodgers' game. Like, does this worry you about DK Metcalf as a fantasy wide receiver too, I would say?
I think it probably depends on, I mean, with Rodgers, it really depends on one thing always, and that is what kind of rapport can you build with him? Yeah. Because if you can't manage to build that that strangely important rapport that only Aaron Rodgers values so highly, then he's going to convince the front office to go out and get Alan Lazard and maybe Davante Adams somehow, because he always manages to do that.
Stop right there, brother. He is in L.A. for 2 years, locked in, baby. He is happy, enjoying this sun over here. Don't do that. Don't bring him to the darkness in Pittsburgh.
I don't know how Rodgers does it, but somehow he always brings these guys in. Assuming that he doesn't, he does tend to lock in on a guy. Like Garrett Wilson last year had 154 targets, even with Adams coming in and getting 114 after coming in, you know, midway through the season, 114 total on the year. So I think that with the rest of the depth chart that they have in Pittsburgh, which is little to nothing, he may well see his highest career target total, and that could be big for Metcalf. Whether he puts up, you know, double-digit touchdowns or 1,400 yards really does depend on how good Rodgers can be, and that's a very up-in-the-air question right now.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I like – It's real nasty work over there. And I don't see DK Metcalf being like this wide receiver I must have in the rounds that he's going. And it's like, I'd rather pivot to a different position or just find a different option at the wide receiver position, because it doesn't look like DK is going to return that type of value where he's going to go in ADPs come August, when you see the slow motion videos, you see people in the beat writer saying, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf look like it's 2016 or 2017 Davante Adams. Like, no, come on, bro. Stop. We're done. All right. But more so, we got bigger fish to fry in this dynasty startup mock draft that we're going to get into. But let's take a quick break and pay some bills. All right. We are back. Dynasty startup mock draft 1.0. Me and Okada, we are going to be sharing a team. We're going to co-own a roster in this startup, and there may be some disagreements between me and Okada on some players, where we'll have two commissioner vetoes tucked away, where this basically gives us all the power to say, hey, I want this player, not that player. I hear your case. I don't agree with you, Okada, but I want this player. And we each get two each throughout the 14 rounds that we draft this startup to have the power of attorney. All right. Ready to jump into it?
All right, let's go.
Listen, I love the spot that we're in right now, because listen, this is mainly the spot that I'm in all my startups right now. I've joined a couple going into this season where I'm like, all right, I'm going to probably be sitting at the back end with these orphan teams. So let's get it. I mean, honestly, look, you feel good about the 108 spot?
I feel good about, I mean, listen, I've done enough of these startup drafts over the years. I can pretty much be okay with anything, but I do not mind this at all. It'll just dictate whatever we see at the in ADP at the front of the or at the end of the first round will dictate what we go next, and then might dictate our whole strategy. We just have to be flexible.
Yeah, I think this would be cool though, because like, you don't see many people jump on here and try to build a team together, but we shall see where the brains align. All right, let's start it up, man.
Let's hit it.
All right. Now, this is a super flex startup, and we are not seeing any quarterbacks.
Is it?
It should be. Technical difficulties. are you seeing the screen that I'm in right now?
I am.
And we got a super flex on there.
Does it show a number? Oh, it does.
Yeah. I wonder if
Dynasty 2QB, is that why?
Maybe. I don't think
what
that
is, what does that say above it?
Where?
Scoring for rankings. That is probably why. I think it has to be on Dynasty 2QB, so it knows to pick based off Dynasty 2QB.
All right, we're gonna redo that. That's insane. All right, so Draft settings. Actually, I could just do this. Right? Remove player. Remove player.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Oh, wait, what the?
It won't stop.
Oh my God. What the hell?
Can you pause it? Yeah, I think you might have to pause it.
I thought I did.
There we go.
Let's make sure they remove this. All right, boom. Okay. Hit a resume, or let's come out of the break first. Three, two, one. All right, we are back, and we are going to be doing a Dynasty Startup Mock Draft Superflex PPR, and it's going to be me and Okada sharing the sticks here, trying to build a team, but there is a catch. We each get two commissioner vetoes to where if we disagree on a player, we could pull that right out the pocket and say, no, we're going with RJ Harvey here. You know what I mean? That's just an example. But we both align good with RJ Harvey. Right, sure. Okada?
We won't have to worry about that one because as soon as RJ Harvey is anywhere close in ADP, we'll be snacking him.
Absolutely. But let's just get into it, man. I can't wait to jump into this to see what we both build because it's not always that I see two co-owners, two analysts on the same show try to build a team together. It's usually going against each other, talk a little trash, but I can't wait to get into this, brother. Boom, we are on the clock.
Okay, what do we got?
All right, what do we got? Obviously, we're looking at quarterback here, right? Right?
Definitely seems ideal.
But do you think we could
pivot? Okay, how do you feel about Mahomes right now?
I don't feel for Mahomes right now. I feel as though I can wait for a guy like Bo Nix that I rather have. I have him ranked higher than him. Bo Nix is like QB8, QB9 right now, where you have Patrick Mahomes in best ball drafts going as the QB6. I feel as though I'm not banking on Hollywood Brown to be healthy. You know, he hasn't been healthy since what, his time in with the Ravens. I mean, come on now. I'm not banking my production on that for Patrick Mahomes. We've kind of seen the last three seasons of decline in the touchdowns. We're not getting as many rushing yards with him. We're not getting as many touchdowns. So that's kind of where I'm at with it on him. How do you feel?
Okay. If that's the case, I feel like there's a big tier of quarterbacks here where we can maybe get one of this tier on the way back. What other options do we have if we don't go quarterback? I'd be
curious if you're into getting neighbors here. Now, I like to staple myself with a alpha that is always going to be the alpha of that team moving forward, no matter who the quarterback is. I like neighbors here. How do you feel about CD if we were to go
I like Hawaii? Lamb or neighbors.
Lamb or neighbors. So here at the 109 spot, oh, come on, dude. You can go wide receiver. Oh, Jesus Christ. Freaking got double picked.
Oh, the timer.
The timer screwed us.
Incredible.
But we're good to go. So we're going to go on neighbors. We got to remember to pause the clock when we're talking. So Bowers goes at the 110, which is interesting.
Okay, I can tell you who I'd be interested in on the way back. Ooh, but
they just lost Mahomes, actually.
Oh, boy. Okay, if you hit all, how close is Trey McBride? Oh, he's right
there. Trey McBride is right there. He ain't making it back. I could tell you that. I could see Trey
this
going.
This is what I'll say. Now, this would be a crazy strat, Laquan, because we're in play. We're with this, the Superflex startup. Yeah. I love getting one of the two elite tight ends in Bowers and McBride. I think there's such a huge tier gap over everybody else. Mm-hmm. If we go McBride here, we probably have to double tap QB at the next turn.
Yeah.
And I don't know what guys would be getting. If you go QB and like look down the list at ADP that's in like the 30, like mid to late 30s. Love Kyler. See, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm good with Love and Kyler. And you know what? These are still young players, and I think they're staples of their organization. I would just much rather have Kyler just with the rushing upside. Love did take a little decline. I say we roll the dice here, and I say that with getting McBride. So I'm on board with that because he's my tight end one. You know what I mean?
Bowers McBride as start in a PPR, that's nasty.
Yeah, what a chance to get Kyler to double tech that stack if you guys are into
true.
That.
True.
Yeah, that's not a bad spot right there. So we're gonna go trade here. Oh, boy, Herbert, that was expected. May, wow, the expectations for May. Yeah, my boy, Bo. I'm a Bo Lever, man. That was hard to see. I wanted Bo there, but I wasn't gonna pull the commissioner out on that.
Okay.
All right.
A gazillion wide receivers went, a few running backs and several quarterbacks, but not the ones we were looking at.
But the two that we could double tap here are right here in Love and Kyler, and we could fade quarterback and worry about our running back, which I still think there's some good value here. Or do we tap the one quarterback and grab a running back?
Okay, I don't hate that. Go back to quarterback for a second. Let me see what else we've got down the line. Baker, yeah. Don't hate. Brock Purdy. How do you feel about Brock Purdy right now?
Brock Purdy signed the bag. It's a staple. He's going to be there for a while. I just don't like the weapons around him right now when it comes to question marks of their health. So it's like, is Brock Purdy going to be able to return as like a QB1 in sense most weeks? We don't know because of the health. So he's kind of a guy like he's good to be a QB2 for me. He just wouldn't be the guy that I would take here.
Okay. So the reason I ask is not to take him as our QB1, but if we take Kyler here and we end up with Purdy as our QB2, I think Purdy's a great QB2.
He's a great QB2. It's just, I feel like he's the weakest of the great QB2s out there in this tier. Like, I feel like I would rather have maybe the upside with JJ McCarthy here rather than have McCarthy. Yeah, like I want to take a swing at McCarthy because KOC has shown and proven to us that he's a QB whisperer or a guru or whatever you want to have it out there. He just knows how to get the best out of his quarterback, and Sam Darnold is the latest of that product. So I love having this type of conversation too about like a Purdy and the JJ McCarthy, because these are two guys that are question marks going into the season. One guy for, you know, production and being the health of his team, and the other guy is just, this is his rookie year, but I love the upside when you have Justin Jefferson.
Okay. I like taking Kyler here and then seeing what's left for us on the way back.
All right. We're in agreement, man. I'm down for the Kyler, man. Get back to that rushing production, my guy. We need that 700 yard. Bang. Kyler, who's going to make it back to us?
Receiver, 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 receiver.
Heavy wide receivers, bro. Look at this run.
Yeah. No quarterbacks.
This is odd. This is a weird mock. This is definitely like a sleeper mock, because like this is weird.
Okay, pop that up. How many more quarterbacks are we good with? I'd be curious if we can punt out
a little further. I'm gonna put him on the watch list. All right.
Sure.
So I'm good with JJ, right?
Yeah.
If you're a believer in Liam Cohen, are you into Trevor Lawrence? Where are you at with Trevor Lawrence?
I'd rather have Baker, Brock, McCarthy than Trevor Lawrence, maybe even Penix.
That's
like not that bad of a QB2. I'm okay with Lawrence as a QB2. I'd say I'm okay with like, I feel like I'm okay with like 8 to 10 guys here. I think we could maybe pass on quarterback here.
Okay, I'm in agreement with that. What about running back? Where are you feeling? This is a startup now. This is a startup. This is where these conversations spark up too. Now, where are you at with the Browns running backs? Quinshon Judkins is here, right? Now
I like Judkins. I like Judkins a lot.
Right here on this turn. Now, if we get Judkins,
this would be our RB1.
Yeah, with workhorse upside.
Yes, he does have workhorse upside. The main problem there is the offense.
Yeah,
I think Judkins is going to get the vast majority of the work. It's just a question of how quickly can this Cleveland offense become even half decent? Because if they are stuck in QB purgatory and can't figure out how to get their offense on track, Judkins, I think, will suffer. There's a Christian McCaffrey question here. In a startup, he's so hard to figure out.
Yeah,
because that's one of those things. If he's healthy and he's playing at Christian McCaffrey levels, we get a number one, not just number one, but maybe the number one running back for a year or two. But yeah, it's such a big risk.
Yeah, I'm not willing to take that risk. Only because we've seen this story play out before where he's returned back from injury and went back out for injury. And the whole transition for San Francisco is a fresh start. But now here we are with CMC missing majority of the season last year due to injury. So I'm about out on CMC in a startup. Like, I'm cool. I'm not losing sleep over this one big year or two that he has left in him. But I'm not against Junkins just based on the volume and everything else. But you brought up a great point of that offense, though.
Would you go Judkins over Jonathan Taylor?
I would. I was going to get to my next question about that, because he's a guy that, you know, are you drinking the DJ Giddens Kool-Aid?
No.
No. Okay. So for you, do you feel like JT has served you well these last couple seasons as a fantasy manager?
He's served okay. I would say maybe not what you had hoped when we were drafting him in his rookie year, or even after his rookie year. We kind of expected him to be the RB1 in Dynasty for a long time, and he's clearly not that right now. I think that's he's not too dissimilar from Judkins in the sense that they both play in weird offenses that are in QB purgatory. They're really talented players, not necessarily going to be, you know, 60, 70 catch type guys. And then the touchdowns, if they suffer because the offense is bad, that puts them in low-end RB1 territory instead of high-end RB1 territory where we'd like to see them. Yeah. Basically, I think he's like more proven but few years older Quinshon Judkins in a way.
Okay. Now, I just want to swap over to wide receivers right now just to see who's available now. Now, we have Neighbors. That's a staple of our wide receiver one with the longevity there. Is there any guys in this batch where we're looking at Roma Dunze or even a Rashid Rice who's returning back from injury, T. Higgins, who's now paid and their defense is terrible, so they're going to be chucking the ball at least 60 times a game. So these are interesting, like, wide receiver two staples for a startup. Like, are you interested in any of these guys, or who has the most upside?
I like T. Higgins a good amount here. Mm-hmm. After that, I feel like Rice is such a risk. Both him and Worthy are big risks. I think McLaurin's at danger of falling off a little bit. Devontae Smith is a very good, like, solid wide receiver, too. I feel like, you know what? I feel like Devontae Smith is a little bit overlooked to where, because he doesn't have wide receiver one upside, we kind of just, like, skip out on him a little bit in this range, maybe. Like some of these other guys in this range do have wide receiver one upside, but where guys like Rice, Adunze, Worthy have a big risk of not even being wide receiver twos or having really disappointing seasons, I don't think there's any chance of that with Devontae Smith. He's basically like the most locked and loaded wide receiver two in all of fantasy. I don't hate the idea of having Malik and Devontae Smith as our two wide receivers. I'd be happy with that. I'd be happy with Higgins. I think I'd be happy with a couple running backs if we don't want to go quarterback here.
I like that because, look, I feel like we could wait for quarterback right now. And I say that because we're seeing how this falls right now. Like, we got Kyler. We're right here on the turn at the 4-4. Which one are you feeling, though? You want to go running back or wide receiver, since wide receivers are going on a run right now?
To me, I think I would lean wide receiver here because I prefer building around a core of young pass catchers in Dynasty. And I think it's easier to pick up running backs that we can get a good year or two out of a little bit later. And then, you know, draft rookies in a year or two. It's much easier to cycle through that position, in my opinion.
I agree. So I'm swapping over to the wide receivers. I like T. Higgins right here.
Okay. Who do you like? I'm good with that.
All right.
I like him and Devontae Smith both. I could be good with either.
All right, then. So we're going to make that pick right now.
Beauty.
Get some T. Higgins in my life. Feels so good. Man, there's love.
Okay, expected.
Love and Purdy.
Not a lot of other quarterbacks out there, okay, Purdy.
This is shaping out nice.
Okay, Baker.
Goff.
And Goff. So four quarterbacks.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, who are we looking at as QB2? JJ is still here. The upside for this is insane. Because how do you feel about JJ as an overall, like, fantasy option going into this season? Do you think there is a QB1 ceiling for him? Like, do you think that he could be one of those guys that can average 18 fantasy points per game or more?
I don't even know. Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll say I feel not just that there might be one. I feel confident that his ceiling is QB1. I feel like the question for me is how high could that ceiling be? I think with the pass catchers he has, he's got an insane group of pass catchers in Minnesota. I think he could be a top six quarterback. It would not surprise me.
That's Bo Nix.
It would be tough because he doesn't necessarily have the rushing upside, and most of the guys in the top six do. So he probably have to hit like 35 plus passing touchdowns, but I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. So
when you have a freaking nature on the perimeter, no, it's not. I mean, Justin Jefferson, yeah. I mean, that's always going to be there on the table. So I'm feeling like I want JJ here. Like, I feel like I feel comfortable pulling the trigger here for JJ, but do you feel like we could wait to get him on the 6'4"?
Okay, so this is something I wanted to point out, actually, because this is a really big thing for dynasty startup drafters, even regular redraft, best ball, anything. I think it's a valuable piece of advice for our listeners to pay attention to the other teams and what they're likely to do coming up before your next pick. So if we look at our pick right now, the next three teams behind us have a combined one quarterback.
Yes, sir.
So there is very little chance, in my opinion, that McCarthy doesn't go, and probably even a couple other quarterbacks, even though there's only three teams behind us on this turn. That's six picks. I would expect three-plus quarterbacks to go with those six picks. So to me, I think it's very likely McCarthy here.
It's either McCarthy, Lawrence, or Penix.
Who else? Who else have we got a quarterback?
Dak. Nah. Justin Fields.
Nah.
Your boy Jackson, but no.
I do like Justin Fields. Oh,
Sam Darnold.
I might be using my veto for Jackson Dart at some point in the not too distant
future. Oh, no, no, no. You are a sick man.
I think it's McCarthy here. Just for fun, what do we got at the other positions? I'm curious.
Now, at wide receiver, we're looking at some of the guys that we had question marks about. Xavier Worthy. I mean, you're looking at Terry McLaurin, who's frustrated with his contract, but I'm sure Commanders are going to pay him. Zay Flowers wants more targets after seeing Rashad Bateman get the bag. $20 million guaranteed. Jesus Christ. And then you have DJ Moore, who thinks that, you know, he may be touching the ball actually less this season, you know, with the comments from Ben Johnson and that coaching staff. So the wide receivers here feel kind of yucky to me. Like, I don't feel like I have to, being that we already locked that up with T. Higgins here.
I agree. What about running back?
Running back?
Still don't have one.
Oh. Wait a second. Ooh. Wait a second. Do we do it?
RJ Harvey are the top two running backs on the board. I love both of those guys.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing, though. I ain't a KW guy because he got to stay healthy for me to be a full-on KW guy. But RJ Harvey.
Here's what I would say. I would say if we take McCarthy here, we're likely to get one of those guys, probably Harvey as a possibility on the way back. I would lean McCarthy and then hope to get our RB1 with one of those guys.
Now, I got to ask you, are you an ageism guy? Harvey will be 25, and we're looking at him going into next season as a 25-year-old starting running back. Does this feel like a good investment for an RB1, being that he's a bit on the older side?
Here's what I'll say. I am an ageism guy, particularly at the running back position. Yeah. I don't want my running backs to be 29-plus. RJ Harvey's not 29-plus. He's 25. And I play Dynasty for a 3-ish year window. I'm not looking 4 or 5 years into the future. Everybody who's doing that with their, you know, oh my gosh, this rookie's 25 years old, I can't draft him because in 4 years he'll be done. In 4 years, you're going to be in a completely different place. You're probably going to have traded RJ Harvey. If you haven't traded RJ Harvey, he's going to be going towards his second contract where we don't really like guys anyways. So I'm not worried about the age. I think he's in his prime for the next 3 years, which is when I care about my dynasty running back. It does not matter to me at all for a startup.
All right, so we're going McCarthy here. I feel like if Harvey makes it back to us, we could debate again, but I'm taking that's the pick, man.
I think we smash our Harvey if he comes back to us. It's the brand.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. All right, JJ, you are on the squad. Now look at that.
Quarterback.
Oh, no! Right! No!
Oh.
Oh my God.
Oh, it hurts.
Oh my God, right in the heart. Jesus. He was right there. This changes so much.
Also, we really need to blame Team 12 for this. It is they're going towards the seventh round without having picked their first quarterback. What are you doing, that's Team 12?
Team 12. And I like how everybody else has a name, but then that was just Team 12. What a jerk. He didn't show up to the draft. Oh my God. I wanted Harvey there, man. Who do we have left? We got your boy KW, but I want to talk a little bit about Caleb Johnson and Chuba Hubbard. Now, honestly, these two guys, you have one rookie coming in. There's really a question mark on his role, Jalen Warren or not, or Chuba Hubbard, who kind of inherited this Panthers backfield as their starting back. And he had some good games last year, man.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say. I like Caleb Johnson. I think he's going to be a very solid RB2. I think he's the Devontae Smith of running backs, basically. He's guaranteed to be an RB2, much like Najee Harris was, but to me does not have RB1 upside. Chuba Hubbard, I like him. He's been efficient. He, you know, got his little contract. I just don't love how much else there is going on in that backfield and on that depth chart. To me, and he's not like he has first-round draft capital to fall back on. The second that someone else gets healthy or that Hubbard, you know, fumbles a time or two, to me, he doesn't have as high and safe of a floor as I would like for our RB1. I think he'll be good, but is just risky. I'm not going to lie to you, Laquan. Oh, Cam Scadaboo's coming up. I love Cam Scadaboo. Oh, I'm not going to lie to you. We can look a little bit about at the other positions. I might exercise my commissioner veto to get us KW here. Here's the thing.
Oh,
I know that Kenneth Walker has dealt with injury. Yeah, he's been off and on with these injuries that have kept him from reaching his full potential. But in the stretches that he's been healthy, he has been an RB1 consistently. Yes.
Agree.
Unless it's a guy who's like consistently dealing with soft tissue hamstring problems, like a Christian Watson, in those situations, I'm out on the injury prone bug. I don't think that that's the issue for KW. I think that he is more likely to be what Keenan Allen was, well, I don't know, 8 years ago, where we all thought that he was injury prone. And then he suddenly got healthy for 5 seasons straight and was a Pro Bowler every single year and a fantasy wide receiver 1 in PPR. I think we're more likely to get that. To me, Kenneth Walker is the last guy who I would confidently put an RB1 Dynasty RB1 tag on that's left here on the board. How much this do you hate it? If I use my veto here, how much do you hate it?
On a 1 to 10, like a 7, man. Like a 7. I hate it for multiple reasons, though, but I understand the move here just based on this batch of guys that we would have to look over and hope that we look at the scraps down here as our RB1s. Like, this comes down to situational moves. Like, this could be dynasty changing right now, but it's more so of like, you're right, on a scale of when KW is healthy, he's one of the most dominant players on the field for the Seahawks. He's a guy that can get out of that backfield and contribute in the passing game, very explosive. I know last season was kind of like a down year for his explosive rate, where Zach Charbonnet kind of looked more like he had the juice, but this is a guy that's been battling injuries. That's why I'm kind of like standoffish. Like, how many games are we going to get from him? Like, I want a consistent RB1 for the next couple years, and I don't really think his situation's a staple there in Seattle either, with Zach Charbonnet being able to show up and show out at times as well. Come on, Okada.
Okay, if I don't use my veto, what would be the pick for you?
What would be the pick for me, honestly? Now, this is a unique situation because we have the tight end locked up so early, which is a good thing, because honestly, I would have loved if we would have waited. If we didn't get Trey, I would have waited until we got Loveland, or, you know, we would have went down to mess with the Isaiah Likelys if you want to wait that late. But I feel as though right here, I hate KW, but he ends up just being the best option, like, by far.
Does that mean we can pick him without me using my veto?
Yeah, save your veto. Just save your veto because there's no point because it's like, who else are you going to take here? You know, like I would have took a tight end. I would have took Loveland. Maybe not here, but I would have took him coming up. That's probably good. But anyway, KW.
I'm sold. I sold me.
You're on the roster. You sold yourself. It convinced me in the same token, which is crazy.
Also, we're going to have to take Sir Henry outside after this draft. For taking
That was insane. Like, the snipe right there was nuts. It was either JJ or Harvey, man. All right. So how this shaped out, which I'm a little surprised to see Alvin Kamara to go here. Like, are we sauced over there, Sonic Rings? But I feel like this kind of played out how I was saying I would have took Loveland. You know, he wouldn't have made it back. He wouldn't have made it back. But we're good here. So now here I'm looking at wide receiver for sure. Now, Waddle. Oh, this seems like a great pick right here. Because you know what? I'm going to say it. I think Tyreek Hill is going to be out of Miami soon.
It's very possible.
And we know Jalen Waddle can play as a one because he has the pure talent. Dude is quick off the line. He could do anything and everything with his route tree and be able to beat defenders. And I think Waddle right here would be like a staple of having that confident pass catchers that you build a dynasty roster around.
I don't know what happened last year where
his
83 targets. What happened?
Well, Tim Boyle and Snoop Huntley were out there chucking that rock and taking off out of the pocket. So I think that plays a huge role. Like, I look at Waddle's last season as complete scrap. I'm scrapping that because we've seen Waddle perform on a high level. He's in that conversation when we talk about the T. Higgins and Devontae Smith as wide receiver twos can play that wide receiver one role and have those spike weeks. Waddle's definitely in that bag.
Okay. I can buy that to a degree. Here's my question back to you. If we're concerned about, you know, Kenneth Walker's health, if we're concerned about Christian Watson's health, shouldn't we be concerned about Tua's health when we're talking about Jalen Waddle? Because if we're concerned about injury prone, Tua's actually got that for real. One concussion and he's out for the season at least.
But you know what?
Zach Wilson is the backup now.
And Quinn Ewers. But here's the thing, though. Here's the difference with KW. If Tua's hurt, Waddle is still on the field getting those opportunities to perform. If KW is hurt, he is off the field. He is off the board as an option. He is hurting my team. So I'd rather have Waddle, which I know the talent is there. We've never questioned his talent. He has been a guy that could stay rather healthy than not. He's a guy that I could rely on at this point as my wide receiver three at this point, where I have two big dogs, where one could become a bigger dog if Tyreek Hill does end up exiting left for another competitive team. Maybe he goes back to the Chiefs. Who knows? I don't know.
Waddle and the flex is pretty sick. Just out of curiosity, what do we have at running back available?
Running back, we have our guy Joe Mixon pour one out. David Montgomery. Oh, all right. Let's get into this conversation because your boy Scat is there, right? I understand you want to get Scataboo in this Jackson Dart stack, but let's hold off on him real quick. You have David Montgomery here with Isaiah Pacheco. These are two running backs that I see pop up sometimes, and there's always two sides to the fence of it. Like, where are you at with these two running backs, David Montgomery and Isaiah Pacheco?
Okay, I'll give you my answer on Pacheco first because it's a little quicker, which is I think he's going to be good. That's basically what I'll say. Like, I don't think he's going to be an elite RB1. I don't think he's going to fall off and be non-existent. I think he's going to have his role in a good offense. And he'll be, you know, a 1,100-yard guy who scores 8 touchdowns or something like that. And he'll be good. Like borderline RB2, RB3, somewhere in that range. David Montgomery, I am concerned about.
Ooh, talk about
it. I feel he is a guy who relies heavily on touchdowns, on those short yardage situations, on his offense being good. Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions offense doesn't need to be good for Jahmyr Gibbs to be exquisitely great for fantasy because he's going to catch passes. He's going to have big explosive plays. He's going to be very efficient scoring touchdowns from anywhere. To me, David Montgomery is a guy who, if this offense takes a step back with Ben Johnson gone and two really good offensive linemen gone out of the interior, it's going to hurt David Montgomery a lot. And I think that not only will it hurt his efficiency on the opportunities he gets, I think it hurts the opportunities he gets, because if the offense takes a step back and the team takes a step back, you're going to be putting more touches towards Jahmyr Gibbs in those kinds of pass, you know, pass first situations than you are to David Montgomery. I think that's going to be the case across the board this year and beyond. So to me, I'm pretty out on Montgomery right now. I would lean back towards the receivers. Like you mentioned, Waddle is a wide receiver 3 and our flex is pretty sick. I would prefer that. I don't like the running backs in this range.
Yay, I don't have to use my commissioner veto.
Okay.
Let's go. We're on the board. I'm glad we're in agreement with that, because you brought up great points, man. Definitely when we're talking about David Montgomery. And I feel like this is the time that, you know, you have to kind of see what you can get for him, because I'm selling at this point. Like the captain of that ship is no longer the captain of that ship. You know, I don't feel as though I feel confident with, you know, Johnny Moe over there deploying the 1-2 punch of the Sonic and Knuckles. We might get, you know, the great value, the Walmart brand value of the Sonic and Knuckles this season, being that it's not Ben Johnson. So I'm kind of out on David Montgomery, in a sense of, even if I've had him on my dynasty rosters right now, I'm trying to see what I can get from him. You know, you might get somebody that still believes into the Lions, you know, Kool-Aid of them being such a high power offense, where I feel as though there's going to be some changes, some noticeable changes. So you might find somebody out there that'd be willing to sell him. I mean, willing to buy him. So yeah, we're going Waddle here, right?
Yeah. Incidentally, I have David Montgomery as a sell in one of the FTN moves to make columns over the last couple of months. So I agree with you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right. What we got? Okay. Dak went. I was wondering when that was going to happen. Honestly, I'm actually surprised he went after Bryce Young. But yeah, I mean, how you feeling about how, I would say, Dak in this season? Like, I feel like if he's healthy, we're getting Dak is back, right?
Yes. I think Dak's probably being pretty undervalued and overlooked right now. He has been good for fantasy when he's been healthy, and he's got more than just CeeDee Lamb now, which is not something he's consistently had. So I think he could be a very dangerous 35-plus touchdown guy with the pass catchers he has now.
Yeah.
I like Dak. I don't necessarily love him for Dynasty as much as opposed to redraft, because I don't know if I trust that organization and what's coming in the future for them. But
yeah,
I think he's being undervalued a little bit.
So you know what? I honestly think you're going to use your commissioner veto this round, because we're on the board right now. So I'm looking at the quarterbacks. You got your boy Jackson Dart here, and then I look at the running backs. You got Cam Scatterbill. Now, I could probably say this. One of them not making back to us. So this will probably have to be the pick, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So what you thinking?
Okay.
I'm going to let you serve up a case. We're going to sneak preview of what a segment is going to be coming. Make a case for why right now we should take Jackson Dart or Cam Scatterbill.
Give me the ADP on Scatterbill real quick. Dart is 94.
Scat
94, basically. Okay. go back to running back real quick.
Swift. 104
for DeAndre Swift. Okay, I'm sold. Here's what I'm doing. Okay. First of all, I love Cam Scatterbill. I would like to get him on the way back, but I don't think we're going to. I hope we can get DeAndre Swift on the way back if you like Swift. Otherwise, I'm down to talk other things. I am going to say at quarterback, it's very tempting to go Jackson Dart here because we get the Malik Nabers stack.
Yeah.
However, Justin Fields.
Yes, sir.
Is sitting right there as our QB3. Justin Fields as a QB2 is rough in Superflex. I do not want to have to rely on a guy who's on a 2-year deal that could very easily be not the starter a year from now. Heck, half a year from now, he could be on the bench. That's real rough as my QB2 in a Superflex. But as my QB3, where I don't have to rely on him, but he could become a top 6, top 8 quarterback very easily for as long as he's the starter. And if he plays well enough to earn that starting role for another year or two, is suddenly, unironically, the best value in Superflex Dynasty startup drafts across the board.
Okada, I am here for the Justin Field train here as the QB3. And I say that because he gives us that rushing ceiling that we want. And if we don't get it from Kyler, boy, we have it in the tuck. We have JJ McCarthy, what we were talking about earlier. Could be a guy that hits that 30 to 35 touchdowns. Because, hell, why not? You have Justin Jefferson on the perimeter. Why can't this happen? KOC on the sticks. Why can't this happen? So I feel really, really freaking good. If we can get a Justin Fields right here as a QB3, bro, like, are we throwing this down? Is this a smash?
I think it's an easy pick. If you're down for it, I think it's a smash.
Let's go. We're green, man. You only had to flash that little commissioner veto once, but you ended up convincing me on the last second. But interesting, Scat, your boy Scat went several picks after. Yep. Now we're and Dart. So Dart and Pearsall. Okay, there's a couple guys I want to talk about real quick that just went off the board. So looking at this, Lamb Chop, let's look at his team real quick. He went Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins, Ladd McConkey. He finishes all with Ricky Pearsall. This is a juggernaut locker room right now of rosters of the wide receivers on this dynasty team. I'm really surprised with Pearsall, though. That's a high pick for a guy that we're kind of unsure of right now, right?
I mean, it definitely depends on where you expect him to be in the 49ers depth chart or in the pecking order. If you expect him to be well behind George Kittle and well behind Brandon Ayuk and behind CMC, then this is a high pick for him. If you say, well, hey, he was a former first round pick, Deebo Samuel's gone, I think this guy could challenge Brandon Ayuk, who's been inconsistent for the wide receiver one role. And George Kittle and CMC are both old and Ricky Pearsall is really young. Now, all of a sudden, this is a value pick. So it really depends on which stance you take on Ricky Pearsall. I think I probably fall somewhere in between, but maybe a little closer to the latter. I will say on the same note, I mean, not on the same note, on a very different note because of the style, but in the same value note, Devontae Adams going right here is a great value. Yeah. He went right before Ricky Pearsall. That's a year or two of potential wide receiver one ceiling. That's really nice value.
I was about to say that Devontae Adams pick for any place that he goes to be a wide receiver three or four for any roster in the startup or even in redraft. Golly, the 2 year window you have for that wide receiver one production is there for you. The offense, the coach, the quarterback, like it's all there for you. So this is a great round to evaluate some of these staples that make some of these rooms dangerous because I'm looking around like we're one of these teams. Like, I mean, I want to look at the wide receivers, like who's on the board right now. Oh, man, I love Trey Harris, man. I don't need to sell you on why I think this is a great pick right here. Right. Because he's the wide receiver one for the Chargers. Correct.
OK, so here's what I'll say.
All right.
Here's what I'll say. I love Trey Harris. I love his value here. I think this would be a great pick. However, click over to running back real quick for me.
Okay. Oh, he's here. He's arrived.
At the last pick, I said, if DeAndre Swift is there on our way back, I think it's a smash. We do not have an RB2 yet. I think DeAndre Swift is going to be a borderline RB1 for the next 2 years out in Chicago without that team adding anybody else with Nick Chubb off the board now, basically, and J.K. Dobbins very close to being off the board. There is now no threat in free agency to come in and take DeAndre Swift's, 200-plus carry upside. To me, DeAndre Swift is one of the best values right now in any kind of draft. Redraft, best ball, even dynasty startups. I think he has a RB1 ceiling for the next couple of years. That's a smash pick for me here.
Absolutely, man. All right, so when you look at everything after DeAndre Swift, now you're looking at Travis Etienne, Tyrone Tracy, Zach Charbonnet, Tony Pollard. Like out of this group, man, like when you hit the back end, like because we're on the turn is going to come up. Let's just say we don't go Swift here. What do you think is left after Swift? Like, are any of these running backs valuable to be an RB2 anymore, even though in some of their situations, they're the RB1?
Can you pull the list up a little further? I'm just curious underneath. Aaron Jones, Trey Benson.
Aaron Jones, yeah.
No, I think there is a what's the planet where Thanos throws people off the cliff to get the one stone.
Oh my god. Nowhere?
Sure. That cliff, yeah, whatever it's called, where he throws his daughter off the cliff to get the stone, and then yeah. Maybe I'm spoiling. Should I not be saying these spoilers? No, these movies are too old.
Nah, the movie's been out for a while.
Scarlett Johansson too. That cliff is, listen, that's what matters here. That cliff is what comes after DeAndre Swift for me. That, to me, he is a locked and loaded RB2 with RB1 upside, and then everybody after him in this ADP order is trash. Complete shots in the dark, 1 or 2 years max with lower upside in those 1 or 2 years.
Oh my god, I love the pick then. We're gonna smash DeAndre Swift here, Pauls. But boom. Here we go.
Let's go.
What a roster.
Trey Harris went.
Oh, come on. Two of my guys went. And I don't think enough people are talking about Tucker Kraft. Where are you at with Tucker Kraft? Because this is their tight end two. They're tight end two right here because they got Bowers at the 110.
Yeah, stop hogging all the tight ends, Sir Henry. You don't get to pick another one. You pick Bowers.
Sir Henry, we got to fight.
Yeah, we have beef with Sir Henry. I'm kind of mixed on Tucker Kraft. I think he showed really solid talent and efficiency when he got the opportunity. My only concern is he got that opportunity because Luke Musgrave was out. They drafted both these guys to kind of be a duo. And I'm a little concerned that if and when Musgrave comes back, plus the addition of Golden and everybody else they've got there, that the workload for Kraft might not be as high as we would like, and he might lose a little bit of value. So I'm kind of in no man's land on Tucker Kraft a little bit.
No, I agree, because honestly, you forget Luke Musgrave was there, to be honest, but you love the opportunity that Tucker Kraft got, and he took full advantage of that. I mean, he's one of those guys that has the yak monster DNA in him. He's a guy that it could be a reliable pass catcher, over 70% of his catch rate. So it's like you hope and believe that Tucker Kraft can get the opportunity as the tight end one over there and take up some of the majority of those snaps, because I think he really looked good out there being, you know, Jordan Love's most reliable, you know, target out there outside of Jaden Reed. You know, Jaden Reed is questioning if he's the wide receiver one right now amongst the herd of wide receiver ones they got over there. But I think Tucker Kraft is he's a solid staple to be in Green Bay. So I wouldn't be against bringing him in as a tight end too, just to see if I can hit that upside.
Yeah.
So
all right, what do we got as our options?
Now, wide receivers, we're in that tier where I feel a little nasty, but I'm happy we've kind of put a staple in our trio that we got in wide receiver. True. So I'm good to pivot off wide receiver at this pick if you are.
Pull it up a little bit. Pop that up and hit. I like Besh.
I like Besh. Here it's a security blanket, but it doesn't,
I don't
it
love
doesn't
anything
make it feel like he makes the room better. It just is like he's there, you know?
True. Yeah, this is a culture pick for us. Just
get there you go.
I don't really love anybody else. Scroll down a little bit. Calvin Ridley, Juwan Jennings, Jalen McMillan, Stephon Diggs, Darnell Mooney. We had Popes talking about Darnell Mooney being a value in one of our videos recently.
Darnell Mooney is a great value.
I don't love these guys. What else do we need? Do we need another running back? Obviously, our depth's not great.
I say we do, but this is where the conversation comes back to when we were talking about Jacksonville briefly last week. And Travis Etienne and Breshad Tootin are in this kind of bag of tears right here as an RB3 essentially for our teams. I love our duo right now with Walker and Swift, but I do want to get a little bit more security in their role and upside for the future. So that could be two people here, right? That could be Breshad Tootin, or that could be Travis Etienne.
Okay. Here's another option. I'm just going to throw it out there. See what you feel like. Give me your temperature check. On Trey Benson, with James Conner likely to be out of Arizona after this year, maybe even partway through this year.
The problem with Trey Benson is when he did get the opportunities, he didn't look great. He didn't look like he was awesome jumping off the paper. Now we know he's a guy, you know, that tap dances at the line of scrimmage, and he's explosive in his burst. we have yet to see that at a consistent rate when he got those opportunities. And I think the fantasy community, they had an egg on their face, you know, because we were all plotting on James Conner's downfall. Like, we were just saying, you know, Trey Benson this, Trey Benson that, lock him up. But we have yet to see him fully take a grasp of that. And James Conner is still out there toting that rock and being a guy you could rely on in the passing game and goal line, et cetera, et cetera. It gave us a full season, Okada. So Trey Benson, I'm a little, I don't know. I feel like this is a project that we will have to wait and to develop when we're not desperate right now for reliable running backs. But then we have KW with his health, and then Swift, obviously, in Chicago. We have not seen the best. We're hoping for the best. It's just that this pick, I need somebody that's going to be like, you're good regardless.
How do you feel about Najee in L.A.?
Najee in L.A. seems like a one-year rental. I think Najee is in his J.K. Dobbins, you know, storyline right now. Like, I feel like that just kind of feels that way. Like, we might see Najee end up somewhere next year. We're just like, why? You know, like, I don't think he returns, because the keys will be handed off to Amari and Hampton very, very soon. So these are just the conversations that we have, you know, just at this point of the draft. We're sitting here at the 10 spot. The 10.4, and we need an RB3. This might have to be commissioner rule here, man. Like, I'm good with going two in here, but then I feel like I'm pulling him up, you know, because of the unknown that with Liam Cohen that has no loyalty. How do you feel about that?
Who's on the board at wide receiver? Just for the heck of it.
Wide receiver, we're gonna keep jumping back to this list. Like, you know, when you open the fridge and you ain't got no food, ain't gonna be food in there.
Here's what I'll say. I would go Besh here. I do not like drafting any of these Jacksonville running backs. And if I'm going to, like we talked about in the last pod, I would rather just wait and take Tank Bigsby.
Yeah.
However, I do not think this is a bad spot if you want to use your commissioner veto, because we do need a running back three. And those guys do have upside, so the picks make sense in a sense to me. If you want to use it, I don't hate it.
All right, so I can save it if you don't hate it. I mean, I thought you were full bullish waiting on Tank, but
I mean, I don't hate you using your veto here. Otherwise, I might have to fight you between Besh and one of the Jacksonville backs.
But the thing is, I think Besh will make it back to us. You know why? Because everybody is going to look at that Raiders offense, and it's going to be Bowers, and that's it. Nobody's going to say anything else other than, look, Besh went the same round. But I do think that outside of that, you still have Jacoby Myers. You still have Brock Bowers as the number one. Jack Besh, we might have to wait to see it develop. And look at the tight end run. Oh, my God. Sheesh.
Ooh. Okay, this puts us in an interesting spot.
It does. Because
we've got three wide receivers, we got three running backs, we got a tight end, and we got three quarterbacks. So this is very much best player available territory for me. If we just hit all, what are we looking at?
We're looking at quarterbacks. Yeah. Stafford, Geno, Anthony Richardson, RIP. But
ooh, okay, that's an interesting idea. Scroll down a little bit for me. I have an interesting idea.
I'm looking at one, two.
Ooh.
Who are you saying?
Kyle Williams? I don't hate Kyle Williams.
I'll put him on the wall.
Interesting idea. Yeah. Get that in the queue for us. I don't hate Mason Taylor. Here's my interesting idea, Laquan. Tell me what you think about this. This is a little bit saucy, but it's not a bad thing to talk about in a Superflex Dynasty startup draft.
Yeah.
Year two, three, year four, year five of Dynasty Superflex leagues. What are the most valuable players that people are desperate for spending arms and legs for and drafting super high because they need them in Superflex?
It's a quarterback.
Quarterback. I know we have three. One of them's very risky in Justin Fields. Another one's kind of risky in J.J. McCarthy because we don't know what's happening yet. Jalen Milroe.
I see where you're going.
Jalen Milroe is coming up here in ADP. He is a massive dart throw. He's probably not the starter for this year. He might not be the starter anytime super soon in Seattle. However, if he gets a shot, we basically get two Justin Fields starts here because he has be that. Anytime he is on the field, anytime he gets a starting shot, Jalen Milroe will be one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the NFL and will give us that 18 points just because he's rushing for 80 yards and a touchdown every once in a while.
I'm here for that.
What are your thoughts and feelings?
I'm here for that because right now at the top of the board for best available, we're looking at Sam Darnold. And this is a situation where I don't understand why Seahawks fans are already ruffling the feathers, talking about Jalen Milroe and then having Mike McDaniel basically answering questions about Sam Darnold being the guy. I think, honestly, if Sam is going to perform anywhere near close to that Panthers performance where he had with Baker being his backup, and I know you remember that year, Okada. That was the worst version of Sam Darnold we've seen. He started that season off hot, being a mobile quarterback out of nowhere. Yeah, we're like,
he rushed for like six touchdowns or something.
Yeah, we're like, yo, you got a little bit of wheels on you, all right? But then we saw the fall off, and then we saw the fall off last year against my Rams, giving him hell in the trenches. So it's one of those things. This situation is a huge question mark. But even with one of those question marks being Jalen Milroe, there is nothing but dangerous upside here. So I'm good on getting him on the turnaround. I don't think he'll go right here, but I think I'll get him on the turnaround. And I want to jump back to the wide receivers. You said Kyle Williams. How do you feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers, about the New England Patriots developing their wide receivers, their young wide receivers? Because we're all waiting for Jalen Polk and Javon Baker to break out, right? This is year two for them. I mean, where are we at with this kind of a herd of wide receivers that they have over there?
It has been a legendary problem in New England Patriots franchise history, at least for the last 20 years, of our inability to draft wide receivers anywhere reasonably high and then turn them into anything reasonably good. So I don't have much hope for Polk or Baker. That being said, there's also a decent track record of this organization, granted with very different front office staff, or mostly different front office staff, drafting slot-y type wide receivers later in the draft and making those guys very valuable. We've got Josh McDaniels, not as a head coach, which is where you never want him to be.
No.
He's in there.
God, no.
I think Kyle Williams has a chance to develop behind Stephon Diggs, learn from Stephon Diggs, which is a great place to learn if Diggs is willing to teach him and can find time between his party boat endeavors. I think Kyle Williams has a lot of upside.
He does. Now, I only bring him up because I feel as though there might be a bigger bang for a buck here. I do like Kyle Williams. I love the opportunity that he has because it's a wide open door. But I like Jalen McMillan, man. I love him a lot, man, because just based on what we've seen him pick up the pieces when guys were injured or out, he showed up to be a guy that can develop very fast into the role and be versatile, playing out of slot and outside wide. Emeka Buka doesn't affect me when I think of Jalen McMillan because they play two different roles. I mean, we honestly see Emeka Buka primarily as the slot guy, being that's where he found most of his bread and butter. I understand Chris Godwin's there, but they're building for the future. You know what I mean? So this Bucs offense might transition to still maintain this high power offense that can go down there and score with Baker Mayfield at the quarterback position.
So you're saying you take McMillan over Williams here?
Correct. And come back on the turnaround and get Jalen Milroe. How you feel about that?
What do the teams behind us have quarterback wise before we make this decision?
I mean, we got Byron. I mean, team 12, we got Bryce Young and Tua. Now we're looking at Sir Henry, who hates us. You know, we don't know if he comes back on this spin around and get that Jalen Milroe like he sniped us on Harvey.
They've got two also.
Yeah.
Do you this like Kyle Williams, but just less than McMillan, or do you not like
less
him?
Than McMillan? Less than McMillan because we have a proven product that we've seen work. We've seen an offense over there that maintained its balance even when they drop guys off. Guys can still remain productive with Baker there. With Kyle Williams, he's coming into a kind of like an offense that needs a rework, rebuild, and understanding to figure out who is going to be the guy. I'm a little stained by having like a Jalen Polk on some of my rosters. I'm a little stained with the Javon Baker, you know, hype that has gone out there about, you know, these prospects that come in that have this huge upside, and Kyle Williams can likely fall into that bag. But that risk is like, I'd rather not. I'd rather take a Jalen McMillan where the proven product has been there for some type of fantasy relevance.
All right. Then I think
I'm about to pull it out of my pocket.
I think it's, oh, wait, what if we both pick it out at the same time?
Oh, we never even talked about that.
I'm using first. I'm using mine first. Kyle Williams, Commissioner Vito. That's the rules. The rules have been set now. God. Whoever uses it first gets the pick.
That's crazy. Now we got to be very clear with these rules. We need to get a buzzer, man. That's crazy.
True.
Because I was just pump faking mine, man. I wasn't really going to pull it out, but fine. All right. We'll take Kyle Williams here. I'm using mine.
I think Williams has far more upside than anybody else in this wide receiver range.
All right. So let's take a quick commercial break, man. Let's pay the bills, man, because, geez, this draft just went upside down with you using your commission and veto on Kyle Williams over Jalen McMillan, man. I can't believe you, Okada. 3, 2, 1. All right, man. Let's wrap up this Superflex Dynasty mock. And honestly, man, I'm still burned about Kyle Williams, but that's your guy. That's your guy, man. You said he has the most upside.
I believe in it. I had to use my veto at some point. We're here at the end of the draft.
Yeah, I know, man. It's kind of crazy. We only needed one of those. We had two Tuck. We'll remove one for the next mock that we do. We'll probably do a super flex.
You get to save one. Premium.
We could say, no, we ain't doing rollovers, bro. Ain't no way.
Okay.
Ain't no way we doing rollovers. That's crazy work. All right, we're on the clock. Now, looking
at our... Is
this
going to be our last pick? Are we going to call it with this pick?
We could call it with this pick. I do feel like this is such a healthy team. I don't know any holes or, any negatives, really, that stand out that are, red flags with our roster, you know? I love the upside that we're taking with Justin Fields. I love our wide receiver core, except for Kyle Williams, because you, Commissioner Vito, but... We could still get my guy, you know, he's still on the board, but I'd rather not. But I do feel like we have a great start to a startup. I kind of want this team to be real, bro.
True.
Because, how do we get off? I can't stop looking at our quarterbacks and then looking at our wide receivers. It's such a great core to build around.
And don't forget, because it's very easy to forget, we're sitting on the number two with a threat to be number one dynasty tight end by a long shot.
Insane, man. Let's go down the raps for the folks that are listening and not watching. Malik Nabers at the 109 is such a clutch pick because we got alpha there. We already know Trey McBride and then Kyler Murray for the stack there that we kind of didn't plan out. I kind of like that worked out that way naturally. T. Higgins, yep. J.J. McCarthy, Kenneth Walker, Jalen Waddle, Justin Fields, DeAndre Swift, Rashawn Tootin, and Kyle Williams, and we are on the clock for the last pick. My guy, what we need with this perfect roster?
I mean, your wide receiver is still there, so if you want, we can just both get our guy if you want to go McMillan. Milroe's still there, so if we want to get that fourth QB, I think that's not a bad option. We got a running back, because if there is a weakness, it is probably our running back depth.
Running back, I would like to, but you know I'm going to make a case for my guy, Jordan Mason, because I do want to talk about Jordan Mason just based on what we've seen in 49ers camp. I mean, they traded him to the Vikings. They gave KOC a gift. They gave them an insurance policy for Aaron Jones, who may be transitioning, you know, past football very soon. I think this is a gold mine here to get Jordan Mason. What RB1 potential? How do you feel about Jordan Mason as a whole, though?
I think that I would mostly agree in the sense that if and when Aaron Jones is not on the field, whenever that may be, whether by injury, contract, retirement, who knows, if Jordan Mason's still there and they traded to get him, which tells me they like him, he has RB1 upside. That is a very good offense. He has shown it already in a good offense. I think it is there. So I wouldn't hate that pick. I'll ask you a couple questions too and then let you slam it. Okay. A, what do you think of the Cowboys backfield?
It's a mess. And Jaden Blue is a topic where I go back to ball security. Some folks may not care about fumbles, but I care about fumbles. The reason why I care about fumbles is because that affects your real life job. That makes you lose opportunities. Jaden Blue's explosive. He's in a situation where the running backs around him are not great. They're not scary. I mean, Miles Sanders does not scare me. I'd be surprised if he's there outside of camp. Javonte Williams, we've kind of seen the best of him before his injury, and now he's out of Denver into a Dallas Cowboys backfield that is desperate for production back there. So I do think Blue for the future, he just ends up one of these guys of the Dallas Cowboys backfield that we're constantly waiting for to really hit that peak, to constantly have that guy be the Tony Pollard that we thought, you know, once he got the keys, he did not look like the guy anymore. You know, he didn't look like he was going to be that RB1 that we're hoping for, that Zeke numbers that we're hoping for. So I'm not a fan of the Dallas Cowboys backfield anymore. So I'm kind of just straight up fading and avoiding until significant changes happen. How about that?
I think that's fair. So let me ask you question number two. Tank Bigsby is on the board. We got Tutton. We could double tap the Jaguars running backs, and then if one of them wins the job outright, we've got two shots at it, basically.
So this is what we're looking at in the queue, though. Jalen Milroe for the crazy upside, where we said we can have the dual threats of Justin Fields and Jalen Milroe. Boy, that is crazy in year two, year three, if he ends up taking the keys that fast from Sam Darnold. And then Jordan Mason, which we talked about, which if Aaron Jones isn't available, we've seen him not available a lot, you know, these last couple of seasons with hamstring issues. So I feel like Jordan Mason has that stamp as a RB1, you know, just based on the talent of what we've seen him step in for guys like CMC last season that were injured. And then your guy, Tank Bigsby. I think this is where I'm okay on Tank Bigsby if Jordan Mason's available here for me. How do you feel about that?
I'm good with any of these three picks, honestly. I think these all are solid startup picks here in the early teens. So yeah. I slammed my veto last round to take Kyle Williams. I think you make the pick here. I'm good with all three.
I'm going to use my commissioner veto, and I'm going to pick Jordan Mason because I am a Jordan Mason stan, and it's only right. I can't leave my boy hanging, and this is the last pick. So you got your guy. I got my guy now. Bam. All right. Here we go.
Old.
This is not a bad squad, Okada, because like when you look at this squad, this just has championship written all over it for the next couple years.
Facts. Okay. So we've got Kyler JJ as our quarterbacks with Justin Fields coming in if and when needed. Our starting receivers are Neighbors, Higgins, Waddle.
Ooh. That's insane. That's insane. I'm curious to see. I'm going to let the draft just keep mocking as we talk because I want to see if we actually have the opportunity to still get Jalen this late. I mean, your guy Tank just went off at the 13th spot, 13-4, and here we are on the clock.
Wow.
And he's still here. Okay. He's still – Jalen Milroe is still here in the 13th round where we can get this – Oh my God, Sam Darnold is still on the board right here.
Yeah, nobody's going for their QB3, it looks like, basically.
This is interesting. See, the hard thing is that we're dealing with bots now. We don't know the human real intellect that goes into some of these picks, but this is a healthy squad, bro. Like, this needs to be a real squad that we need to do.
All right, let's go find some listeners to take over these 11 other teams, and we'll run this as a startup.
We will definitely run it back as a startup, man, because golly, this was fun making the mock draft. I mean, making a team with you, bro, in the startup, because again, I haven't done this ever really in a competitive league where you join as co-managers and try to build a dynasty startup. But we aligned on some things, you know, the Kyle Williams thing is going to come back. I'm just going to put that in the show doc that Okada drafted Kyle Williams over Jalen McMillan.
Listen, the important thing is we barely even needed our veto. We saved it for the 11th round because we were in agreement on basically every other pick.
Which is crazy. I thought we were going to be going at it in the first like four or five rounds at least.
Yeah, I love this squad. I think we're going to need to throw hands with Sir Henry for taking RJ Harvey one pick before us. Yeah. That's honestly my whole draft is a little bit soured by that horror, but otherwise, I think it's pretty solid.
Nah, man, such a solid draft, man. This has been a great episode. Time flies when you're having fun, man. But definitely, man, I appreciate all you guys out there listening to the FTN Fantasy Show with your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy HQ. And of course, my guy, Matt Okada, bro. What you got going on, though, brother? You going on any vacations next week where we got to move the pod again, bro?
No, I'm locked in now. That's it for me for the summer, pretty much. It's all fantasy from here to the end of the offseason.
Nah, that's awesome, man. I'm just messing with you, bro. But definitely, man, I enjoy talking ball with you as always, man. On to the next episode.